Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
Man, we ought to praise Him for what He's done. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if we continue a series of messages on the whole armor of God. And have you ever, especially here of late, have you ever experienced that feeling of wonderment as you look at a decision that's being made and you say, how in the world could that governor or how in the world could that individual ever make that choice or make that to make that choice? For instance, how could a governor make a choice as the one in California did, Mr. Newsom? How could he make a decision of allowing riots to take place but shutting churches down? Does that make sense? I mean, if you were to sit down with somebody and who had no idea what's going on today, and you were to say, hey, does this make sense? Does this make common sense to shut churches down but allow these big riots to take place? No. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Doesn't make common sense. The governor of California, you're saying the governor of California preacher has no common sense? I'm saying tonight, based upon the scripture, that there's more going on than we see. That there's a force behind the governor. Again, we're not against, our enemy is not people. Understand that. God loves the world. He came and His Son came to die on the cross for all mankind. But there is a force behind people. There is a force we cannot see. I don't like using the word force because Star Wars made that so popular. Because it's really not a force, it's an individual. It's a real creation. It's Satan and his principalities and his powers and his dominions. His demonic horde of angels who are behind what we're seeing today. And this didn't start in the last few months. We've seen this go on in our lifetime. We've seen it. You've seen it. Many of you, a lot of you, have been are older than I am. You've seen it in your lifetime. But you just see some things, and you think, I'll give you another. For instance, how can anyone rationalize socialism? How can you? And I've heard the arguments. I'm on Facebook too, and you see the Prager University, and you see Ben Shapiro and many of those guys who argue with these individuals who believe in socialism. It's amazing how they trash them. I mean, there's just not a logical explanation. It does not make common sense to argue for socialism. And again, socialism is just communism with makeup on. It's just a pig is still a pig, even if you put lipstick on it, right? Let me testify. Say, preacher, you're getting, political. Well, I think, again, we're back to churches need to, and pastors need to stand up and say something every once in a while. I believe I've done pretty good of not making a habit of it, and I don't want it to be every service, but I do believe it definitely ties into the scriptures tonight, that those times in which you and I sit down and we see some decisions being made and you scratch your head and you go, how could they ever come to that conclusion? How in their right mind could they ever make that decision? How could you in the city of Portland, how in the city of Portland could you make a decision to cut the funding of your police department when your city is being bombarded on a nightly basis? How can a person make sense out of that? Well, most of us would say, well, there is no sense in that. Then why is that decision being made? Because there's one behind the scenes who's called the God of this world, who's the principality of the air, whose dominion is here on earth, who, if you would, is like the puppet strings. as he manipulates government officials, as he manipulates, and I'm harping on the government, but man, this happens across the board. We see people, even neighbors sometimes, and people that we know, and co-workers and friends, and they make decisions. And I'm talking about lost people, lost individuals. And you say, how would they make that decision like that? Can I remind you tonight that just as God is real, so is Satan? Now, Satan's a created being created by God, but he's real. And I think too many Christians have laid it aside and, you know, called him the boogeyman too much. But I want you to know that he's just as real as God is real. And he is a force to be reckoned with. I'm thankful that I'm on the winning side. I'm thankful that through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. In fact, he's already been defeated. And as I said last Sunday, he knows it. He knows it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read just the first three verses again. Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Remember Paul saying, hey, remember this wealth and the blessings you have in Jesus. All the tools that have been given to you as a Christian to live out the Christian life. You know, walk in those things. Walk worthy. Walk in the light. Walk in love. That we ought to be, as Christians, walking with Jesus. Having a close relationship with him. And if you are going to experience the blessings of God, and then you are going to change your behavior in line with the blessings you received, right? And if you're going to apply those blessings to your life and change your behavior, there's going to be a battle take place. The blessings, the behavior change produces a battle. Produces a battle. Finally, he says, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Can we again be challenged tonight that you can't do it on your own? Amen. You cannot live the Christian life. You cannot live out the victorious Christian life on your own. Yeah. You cannot do it in your power. We need the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, not your strength, but in the Lord's strength and his might. Look there at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. That's a command, by the way. We are commanded in the Scripture to put on the whole armor of God. And that we are to get up in the morning and read our Bibles and pray and put on the armor of God. And that we go out to battle with our armor on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we spent some time last Sunday night talking about that wiles of the devil. And he is a trickster. He is a manipulator. And he'll do anything he can. He is the ultimate deceiver. He'll attack you in various ways, and he will attack your weak points. He knows you backwards and forwards. Now, he's not all powerful. He's not all knowing, but he is highly organized. But he will attack your weak points. Whatever's weakest in your life, he will continue to attack it. I've made this point the last several years because I've realized it in my own life. If he attacks you once and he gains some ground, you know what he's going to do? At the same time, he's going to attack you again. I always tell people it doesn't come in ones and twos. It usually comes in threes and fours. Because once he gains ground, he's just going to continue at it. But once you get the victory, he'll stop. Make sense? So many times we allow that trial or that test in our life to continue because we haven't got victory yet. And so the Satan says, okay, well, if they're going to continue to, you know, to cry and complain and lose, I'm just going to continue to attack them. So I'm not saying that's the case all the time, but there certainly is a case for it. Satan will find your weak points. He is the ultimate deceiver. He is Lucifer, the serpent. He is, the tempter. The Bible describes him as a murderer and a liar. The lion, we're going to cover that again here in a moment. The serpent, the god of this age. And as I said before, it's good to be reminded that he is a created being. And therefore, under the subjection of his creator. Isaiah 14, we read last week, where we see the description of Satan falling from heaven. I believe that. I think that's what it's talking about. Because of his pride, he fell. Amen. in Revelation, John alludes to that there are angels that fell with him. Maybe a third of them, or whatever the case is. We don't know, But a great company of angels fell with Satan. And now they are his army. Now they are serving him. He was the anointed cherub. He was the leader, if you would. He was the captain of the angels of heaven, set above the throne. But now, the prince and power of this world, the deceiver, the tempter, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he sure is out to get you. And tonight, look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a wrestling match. We're in a wrestling match. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you tonight. We ask that you would again just open our eyes to who the real enemy is. And God, may we face the battle in your strength and with the armor of God. God, may you continue to give us victory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a kid, wrestling has always been popular, but wrestling was getting very popular. Professional wrestling. Some of you who are in that 40 age range and maybe even a little older and even younger, it was the Von Erichs, right? When I was a kid, y'all get it. Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. And then it just became more and more popular. It was the WWF and then you had Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. I mean, Andre the Giant. Amazing, amazing to see Andre the Giant and to see him in Princess Bride 2, the movie. I'm relevant. You know what I'm saying? I'm relevant. 25 years ago. The Von Erichs, and by the way, a lot of the Von Erichs have died. It's a tragedy what's happened to that family. And I'm telling you, it's not fame and fortune's not worth it. It's just ravished their family. But it became very popular, and in fact, so much so that even in the city of Bowie, the big city of 5,000 people, the professional wrestlers would come to town and they would wrestle. Of course, my dad would have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. My dad wouldn't let us watch them on TV. He had no desire. And so really, I really didn't watch them all that much. And really, I found it to be silly. And then the more I watched it, the sillier it became. The Rock Johnson, it's silly to watch them wrestle. And it's just entertainment. It's not real wrestling. It's all contrived. They decided who the winners and losers are before they ever get on the mat. Now, I will say most of them are very athletic, and it's amazing to see the body and what they can do with their bodies. But that's not real wrestling. Now, when I was a kid growing up, my dad enjoyed wrestling in high school and was a good wrestler. And honestly, our family, if you've ever been around us, very much personally around us, like in the family environment, you'll know that the Crawfords enjoy wrestling. When my kids were little, we wrestled a lot. When I was little, I wrestled with my dad. I can remember wrestling with my pawpaw, my dad's dad, just wrestling on the floor, just getting at it. I remember many, many, many times wrestling at the house when I was a kid and people getting hurt. I mean, it was always, usually my sister was crying or I was crying, or it was always somebody crying. Because at the end, usually the wrestling match ended with somebody crying. My mom, you'll try at the beginning to quench the wrestling matches in the house. And my dad just finally put down the law and said, hey, we're going to wrestle. And I remember one of the last wrestling matches we had at the house. We were in the living room and we did not push the coffee table back far enough. And we were getting at it. And that coffee table went to see Jesus. It did. It went to see Jesus. It had two glass tops on it, and it was wooden, but it had glass top, like on each side. And those glass broke. And we tried our best to clean it all up, and the legs went, We put it back together as much as possible. I can remember absolutely breaking Mama's whatnots, you know, used to call a whatnot shelf, right? Like these little figurines and all that, and we'd break them and we'd super glue them back together, put them. My dad was doing that because he didn't want her to get mad either. He, like the, you know, little elephant my mom had, this little neat little, I don't know how to even describe it. It was made out of rock, I think, but we broke it anyhow, and we were gluing it back together. This happened on a, I'm not kidding, it happened on a regular basis. When I first went to pastor at Lakeland Street Baptist Church, I'll never forget how Brother Jernigan, the pastor there, had been there 30-something years. And he got a kick out of me. I would always, if a visitor or somebody came. And one time, one of his grandkids were there, and one of his grandkids was a pretty large individual, and big kid. And I just said to the kid, "You want to wrestle?" Didn't think a thing about it. Brother Jernigan just started laughing like crazy. The pastor started laughing like crazy. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "That's pretty much my thing, you know. You want to wrestle? Anybody here want to wrestle?" I just did it a lot. Wrestling. We wrestle not. We wrestle not. I think I've taken that illustration far enough. Wrestle. Again, the WWF, or now it's called the WWE, is not real wrestling. It's all contrived and it's rehearsed. But can I tell you, spiritually, we are in a wrestling match. And whether you like it or not, you wrestle against principalities, against powers. There's a match taking place that you cannot see. By the way, you may not be able to see it, but you can feel it. I am telling you, you can feel it. And you can feel when it really gets down and dirty. You can feel it. You experience that oppression, if you would, in your life. A wrestling match. There's a war taking place, a battle taking place. As I mentioned before, we need to be reminded that it's not people that we're warring against. It's the person behind the people. Our warfare is not physical. It's spiritual. And this wrestling match, this warfare, is no ordinary battle. It's unlike any battle that takes place in the world. It's a spiritual battle. The devil hates you. The devil hates everything about you. We wrestle against. That word wrestle, you got to have a definition. It's a contest between two in which each endeavor to throw the other. That's really, really simple. It means to struggle. To struggle. I will give you one more illustration. Personal illustration about wrestling. I was about 20. I was 18 when my dad moved to Snyder in the oil field, and he took a church there as well, pastored and worked in the oil field. I was about 20 years old, 21, when we went out there, and I'd been working out, even in past high school, been working out and gotten really strong and big. I was much bigger than my dad. And I said to Dad, "It's time. I'm ready to wrestle you again. And you will be defeated this time." I'd never defeated my dad in the wrestling mat. He said, "Well, I know the coach down here at the Snyder High School, and there's a big wrestling match there in the gym. Let's go down there and we'll wrestle." I said, "Okay, I got it this time, man." I was waiting. I was ready. And we got down there, and we started off wrestling. He pinned me in 45 seconds. 45 seconds. I'm not exaggerating at all. 45 seconds, he pinned me to the ground. I'm like, "How did you get me here? I'm stronger than you, faster than you. Apparently, I'm not as smart as you." And that is true. He had learned many techniques that he didn't teach us boys. And he used one on me. And then later on showed me what he did. But I'm telling you, we are in a wrestling match. And our opponent is mighty. He's strong. It's said that when the Greek wrestlers would wrestle, that it was basically a battle to the finish. They would gouge each other's eyes out. I mean, it was a gruesome, gruesome thing to behold. Blood and guts everywhere. Just, it was a battle. Can I tell you, that's the kind of wrestling match we're in. We're in a battle that requires strength other than what we have. It's a spiritual battle. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Again, it's not people that is our primary opponent, but it's the principalities and powers, the forces of Satan. And he is powerful. I want you to turn to two or three different scriptures here real quick with me. And there's so many more we could turn to. But turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Here Jesus has been fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he's being tempted, if you would, of Satan. Luke chapter 4. The temptation of Christ we see here in Jesus, being verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, but being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Verse 3, Luke chapter 4. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it might be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Listen to this. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. Satan's powerful. He is the little G-O-D of this world. And he has power to give. And don't think that he doesn't. There are things going on in our world today that cannot be explained. And a lot of those things that cannot be explained are explained in a spiritual sense, in that Satan has power to do things that are unexplainable. I'll give you one for instance. I want to just you to keep in mind that when a person dies, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I usually make fun and make this lighthearted, but can I just tell you that if you were to see your loved one after they have died, if you were to see them at the foot of your bed, can I tell you that that's not your loved one? It's impossible biblically for that to be your loved one at the foot of your bed. And yes, it could bring about great emotions in your life, and I've talked with people and tried to explain to them, and it's like speaking to the wall when I try to tell them, hey, that whatever you saw, whether real or not real, that was not your mother or that was not your grandmother. Again, when we die, we don't become ghosts. I don't care what's popular on TV, what goes on in the movie show. The Bible makes it clear that when you die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. There's no in between. There's no none of this, place, a holding place. There's not a, no. Just like that. Amen. And I'm telling you, there are individuals who honestly believe they have seen something or noticed something, and they have come to me and talked to me and said, Preacher, I saw this. And I've said to them, maybe you didn't see it. And he said, Preacher, I saw this or that or whatever. And then you come to the conclusion, they may have seen something. I said, Preacher, you're going to scare me tonight. I have stories to tell that would scare you, that I've experienced either myself or pastors I have worked for have experienced. Talk to John Hinton. Remember when he came years ago, and some of you may remember, he came and gave a report about Brazil. He talked about all the demonic possession that he had seen and experienced in his ministry. It's real, folks. It's real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The forces of Satan are real, and they're powerful. He says there that he has the ability to give power. We know this when we think about the maniac of Gadara. Remember the story? I'm not going to turn there, but you can look it up. The maniac of Gadara, he was a man who was possessed of devils, and he was the town had tried to to capture him. They had tried to chain him, and the Bible says that he would break the chains. He would break the chains. You don't think that those demons gave him power, physical power? That had just come from himself? I don't know about you, but I haven't broke... I'm a pretty stout guy, but I haven't broke any chains lately. Don't think that's going to happen. Amen? So when we read these stories in the New Testament, and I'm so thankful that Jesus came to him and he cast the demons out. Remember, he cast the demons out and they went into the pigs, and the pigs didn't like being demon-possessed. They just ran off into the water and killed themselves. Until Jesus came to him and changed his life. I'm glad Jesus is in the life-changing business, man. And the demons departed. Okay, so physical power and power to do those things, but think about remember the girl who could tell the future? Remember that? You can look it up. You can read it. And these men who were gaining money and gaining business by this girl who could tell the future, and the apostle cast the demon out of her too. Guess what? She couldn't tell the future anymore. So, strong and physically powerful, mentally, ability to either to, you know, trick people or something. Apparently she had some kind of power. They were able to get people to pay money for her to tell their future. Well, maybe it was Torah cards and blah, blah, blah. I don't know exactly what it is, but there was more going on than just a little girl who, you know. Satan has power. And I want to just stop here too, and we ought to be careful. I was mentioning Torah cards and those type of things. Boy, Christians, you ought to be careful. Amen. We make light of those individuals who read palms and Torah cards and witches and warlocks. It's become one of those things with the movies and all the things that have gone on. I still have yet to watch Harry Potter stuff. I won't do it. I'm not going to watch it. Amen. You can watch it as a Christian. You can let your kids watch it. There's more real stuff going on behind those individuals than you would ever realize, and that we would ever realize. And I don't think it's good for us as Christians not to dabble in it and be very careful. Powerful things going on. We wrestle not against principalities and powers. And just again, let you know that he's organized. There's ranks and positions and rule, and that those that they're highly put in positions where they can follow you, follow me. Positions in which they hold in individuals in government whom we seemingly think are making weird and poor choices and choices that make no sense at all. And I'm telling you, there is someone behind them pulling the strings. And I'm not talking about other politicians, which that happens too, and George Soros and all the liberals and billions of dollars that are being spent and all that. Yes, there's some of those things going on, but even George Soros, you know who's manipulating him? Satan. The devil has power. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We preached through this chapter a few years ago when our theme was, again, talking about being renewed day by day. Look at, we'll start in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, and again, just in chapter 3, it talked about that the New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament, that we have it so much better in the New Testament than they had it in the Old Testament. Amen. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, talking about the New Testament ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now listen closely. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Listen. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who's blinded their eyes? Satan. Is that not what the scripture says? So it says those who are lost, that Satan has blinded their eyes. I don't know how many times I've talked with individuals and gave them the gospel and I believe made it very clear, and I believe they were under conviction, but Satan has simply blinded their eyes to the truth. And I'll carry it further and say to you that most of this stuff is not making common sense, and most of the stuff we're seeing today that has just doesn't make sense at all, it's Satan blinding them. It's unbelievable. Maybe I said that wrong. It is believable. Satan's blinding their eyes. The rulers of the darkness of this world blinded their eyes to the glorious gospel of light, the opposite of light, the darkness that's going on in this world today. We see it all around us, these spiritual forces of wickedness that seek the worship of Satan and the worship of mankind. In fact, there was just an article that was there on Fox News about those in America who worship Satan. You read about it, you just say, how in the world would anybody do that? They're blinded. He blind those that are lost. Again, blind those to the gospel. How does abortion make sense at all? How can you take a baby that has a heartbeat, just within a few days has a heartbeat, and kill that baby? That's not natural. I want to say it again, that's not natural. It's not natural for a woman who has this baby living inside of her. It's not natural for that woman to want to kill her baby. Who's behind that? Blinded their eyes. Blinded their eyes. And again, it's real. It's not a myth. Amen. I would challenge you tonight to go home and read Daniel chapter 10. Years ago in the storefront, we went through the book of Daniel. And if you remember there, that talks about those spiritual battles that were taking place and how Satan has set up principalities and powers over nations. Go read it. Verses 13, I think, through verse 20 talks about this satanic angels in charge of this nation, and this satanic angels in charge of this nation, and this satanic angel in charge of this nation, and Satan has them set up around the world. Again, manipulating world powers to see the destruction is unparalleled, especially in this day and age, that Satan has called in nations around the world. To see the rise again of communism, again, we see it. We see Russia coming to power once again, coming to dominance, China. And our nation flirting with that. Again, manipulated, Satan manipulation taking place. In fact, if you'll read Daniel chapter 10, it says that the angels of Satan had stopped and had fought so hard that a prayer of Daniel had been delayed for 3 weeks. I challenge you to go read it. It'll make it a little more real in your life as you pray and as you seek God's face, to think that prayer and the things going on that you cannot see, that's real. That there's real things going on. There's a real spiritual battle taking place that we cannot see. Satan's angels, again, struggling with God's angel for control of the affairs of nations. That's what it describes in Daniel chapter 10. It's true. I'm not talking about some movie. I'm not talking about some WWE or WWF where it's just a bunch of people, you know, flailing around pretending to be wrestlers. Now we're talking about real stuff. We're talking about real spiritual battle taking place. And may we understand as Christians there is an enemy. And also may we be careful not to put it on the individual, that people are not our enemy. Ultimately, Satan is. I'll give you, for instance, on that as well. We think about Mormons. Mormons believe some weird stuff. Their beliefs there are some of their doctrine that one with common sense could not believe. I'm talking about having spiritual babies, and there's a mother God and a father. We know there's a father God, but they believe in a mother God, and they've had spiritual babies, and it's some whacked out weird stuff. But the average individual, the average Mormon sitting in those pews and sitting in those chairs, they're not the enemy. In fact, most of them haven't really, they don't know a lot of the beliefs of the Mormon church. But it's amazing to me how they can sit in those pews and they can sit in those chairs and they can follow the Mormon. It's a cult. They don't believe in the same Jesus we believe in. They don't believe Jesus is the triunity of God. Oh, they'll tell you they believe in the atonement of Christ, but it's not the same atonement that we believe in. Amen. They've been blinded. Here recently, I've gotten lots of calls from the Mormon coven over here. And one of the calls I got was, hey, we saw your church out passing out flyers and trying to go door to door, and we'd like to help you guys. I got that call. I said, well, I'd like to talk to you a little bit. And I began to talk to them, and it didn't take 2 or 3 minutes. They didn't want to talk to me no more. Recently, I got a letter that the Mormon church would like to start a ministerial alliance here in the local area. And I just let you know, this preacher will never be a part of ministerial alliance. It'll never happen. I believe doctrine does divide us. And we can be kind and gracious and so forth. We can disagree without being disagreeable. Amen. And I think the Baptists in the past have gotten a reputation of being mean and ornery. So we can be kind and preach the truth in love. Amen. But we shouldn't compromise. And it just boggled my mind that the Mormon church is the one putting the ministerial alliance together. Is that not a little bit ironic to you? Blinded. He's blinded the eyes of them. Satan. Powerful influence, enslaving them. Luke, look with me in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. It says, and the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Lord, they'll never do that to you. In fact, one time he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't think Satan wouldn't have an influence in Peter's life? Hello? Why would Jesus say to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan? No, Peter was influenced. Some of the strings that were manipulating him were strings. He was a puppet of the Satan. Well, may we never allow Satan to use us. And though he has used me from time to time, I know it. Satan is powerful. Satan is strong. He influences and enslaves people. Today, more than ever, we see it. We see mankind being sifted. Legalizing marijuana, really, that makes sense. You looked at the statistics, how in the world could you legalize marijuana? How could you be a politician and sit down and logically say, hey, let's legalize pot? Basically what they're saying is, I'm going to give up and force them, you know, I don't want to deal with the law anymore. But the same could be said about alcohol. Look at the, I can't say statistic, okay? It's all right. You guys will get over it someday. You guys, I've tried. My family has sat down with me and said, okay, here's how you say it. I've tried like 12 times. Can't do it. But if you look at the statistics of alcohol, you logically can't sit down and say, man, that makes sense. Let's legalize that. He sifted them. Sifted them. Pornography. Think about humanism and all the things that we see going on in our society today. Can I tell you again, 1 Peter 5:8 says that Satan's a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is the little G-O-D of this world. But I'm again thankful that one day he will be defeated. He's already been defeated, we know, at Calvary. But Satan, assaults are real. Attack today are real. In fact, more than ever today, we see the attacks of Satan. We see it on the American family. Attack on the churches in America. I mentioned again about California. I'm again appreciative of John MacArthur, who stood up and said, hey, we're going to meet anyway. And I'm thankfully now a federal judge has stepped in, the three panel judge has stepped in and said, yes, they have the right to do that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. This organized demon horde of Satan, which is just as real as the Bible that I'm holding in my hand. We can't see it, can't taste it, but it's real. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll end with this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's look at verse 15. Whom is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Colossians chapter 1, now in verse 16. For by him were all things created. Talking about God. That are in heaven and that are in earth. Notice what it says. By him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. And whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Again, Satan is a created being. Amen. Satan is not all powerful. And though he does have power that's been delegated to him by his creator, one day he will be defeated. One day the Lord will put all things under his feet. Not Satan's feet, under the Lord's feet. And it's the Lord who will rule and reign from the throne of David, from the great city of Jerusalem. He will be the ultimate King of kings and Lord of lords. Satan knows his time is drawing near. He's doing everything he can, as I said last week, to take as many people with him as he can. He is that roaring lion. He's that devourer who seeks to destroy you, destroy your family. He doesn't like to see a Christian family worshiping the Lord together tonight. I mean, you are a target. But may we be reminded that the Lord is mighty, powerful, and strong. As Psalm 61 said this morning, he is our defense. He is our strong tower. He is our defense, our defender. May we rely upon the mighty hand of God as we live this week, as we go throughout Monday. As we face this dark world, it is God who has spoiled. Look at Colossians 2:15. We'll back up just a little bit. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, verse 14, Colossians 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What's it talking about? Calvary. He spoiled them. Talking about the principalities and powers. What does that mean? He defeated them. Now they're his spoil. He's defeated the enemy at the cross of Calvary. I believe Satan and his power thought for a second maybe he had defeated him. Not a lot of prophets in the Old Testament that tells you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There would have been a lot of that Satan could have read to help him understand what was about to happen. Hello? In the Old Testament, the prophets didn't see necessarily the resurrection. They saw the cross. But there Jesus died. He was put in a tomb. The Bible says that when he rose from the dead, he spoiled principalities and powers, defeating death, hell, and the grave. That's the God that we serve. He is victorious, and therefore in him we are victorious. The enemy is real, yes. And we could tell stories, and I could tell even more stories about things that I've seen and things I've heard and try to make it more real to you. We face an invisible enemy that is real. And we as Christians need to every once in a while be jostled a little bit. And be reminded, when we get mad at that politician, when we get mad at that governor, we get mad at, listen, yeah, but there's somebody behind it. His name is Satan. And he wants to see the destruction of America that stood as a shining light, as a beacon of hope for generations to the world today. And he would love to see America fall. May we stand. So we should put on the whole armor of God. We should read our Bibles and pray. We should walk with the Lord. We should pray. We should have that daily relationship with Jesus. Put on that armor of God that we may be able to face the fire darts of the devil. Let's all stand. Apparently I said something funny. I said stand. Oh, that did, yeah. I did. Stand. But I was talking about the Bible stand, not... There's a difference between you standing, like right now, and the Bible saying stand. That was good. I like that. I wasn't finished preaching yet. You guys trying to shut me. It's only 7:03. Or for those of you from the north, 7:03. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you would, again tonight, in our own hearts, by your power of the Spirit, would you just again and remind us of that spiritual battle taking place and the importance of our daily Bible reading, the importance of walking with you and putting on the armor of God that we may be able to stand in the day of battle. Lord, I pray that you would again make us more than conquerors. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherever he leads, I'll go as we sing.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today.
Wherever he leads, I'll go.
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 I'm glad he's leading us.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.